This podcast of NPR's On Point with Tom Ashbrook is a production of WBUR Boston.
From WBUR Boston and NPR, I'm Tom Ashbrook, and this is On Point. Stanley Tukey Williams sits on death row in San Quentin Prison, scheduled for execution on December 13th. Williams is a four-time convicted murderer and a founder of the Crips, one of the country's most lethal gangs. He has also, in his 24 years on death row, become a famous crusader against the gangster life, writing children's books and urging urban youth to avoid the life of crime. Now, a tremendous campaign is swelling to persuade California Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger to grant clemency to Tukey Williams. The argument is he has earned redemption. Nobel Prize winners are lining up with him. Cops and victims say no, and execution day draws near. Up next on Point, Tukey Williams' death row and the redemption debate. Joining me now from Los Angeles is Henry Weinstein, who has been covering the story for the Los Angeles Times. Henry, thanks for being with us.
Glad to be with you, Tom.
Henry, what are Governor Schwarzenegger's options with Stanley Tukey Williams?
Governor Schwarzenegger basically has, well, I guess he has three options, but practically two. I mean, the basic options are he could let all of the court decisions stand and say that Williams can be executed. He could, in some unusual circumstance, issue a brief reprieve saying that there was further investigation required. That would be very unusual. Or he could simply grant clemency. Clemency is an act of grace, something that's come to the United States from Britain years ago. The governor, as the sovereign of the state, has the ultimate discretion to do this. There are no legal standards.
It would not set Tukey Williams free. It would leave him in prison for life, but no execution. Let me ask you, Henry Weinstein, to describe the campaign and the kind of people who are campaigning for Tukey Williams, the sort of scale of it and the high profile. Give us a sense of that.
Well, it is a very intense campaign, which, as I say, has really sort of started in earnest about a month ago on the date that a judge formally set the date for the execution. On that day, a number of very prominent clergymen from all religious faiths were at the courthouse, held a press conference outside, a Jewish, Protestant, Muslim, Baptist. One of them was, James Lawson, who was, worked with Dr. King.
Who we'll speak to in a moment. And then you have had rallies. You've had Jesse Jackson and Mario Cuomo and Bonnie Raitt and Danny Glover, Snoop Dogg, the rapper, rallying for this man.
And then on the other side, there's been a very intense campaign and response. The Los Angeles Police Chief William Bratton, Los Angeles Sheriff Lee Baca, the District Attorney Steve Cooley, a number of victims' rights organizations have all said that Williams deserves to die for these terrible crimes.
What has Arnold Schwarzenegger said, if anything?
Arnold Schwarzenegger has said one thing when he was interviewed about this briefly while he was on a trade mission to China a couple of weeks ago. He said that he simply dreaded making the decision. Schwarzenegger has faced the clemency issue twice before. He denied it both times, once to a man named Donald Beardsley, who was executed earlier this year, and once to a man named Kevin Cooper, who subsequently got a last-minute reprieve from the federal appeals court so that there could be further DNA tests. The last person to grant clemency in California was Ronald Reagan in 1967 to a man who was brain-damaged. Governor Pete Wilson rejected all the clemency requests that came in front of him, as did Governor Gray Davis, who Schwarzenegger came into office. Another dimension to this is that, California, although it has the largest death row in the country with well over 600 people, has had very few executions, only 10 since the death penalty was reinstated. It's a distinct contrast, say, to a place like Texas, whose death row, although very large, is probably 200 people less than California, but they have executed more than 300 people, well over a third of the 1,000 that you were referring to earlier. Mm-hmm. And this week, and there are two other executions scheduled to occur within a month or so after Williams's. So people that are foes of the death penalty are getting very concerned about the fact that, you know, that a lot of people have been running out of their appeals. And this week, an organization called Death Penalty Focus, which is the leading anti-death penalty group in California, has been sending out mailings in envelopes entitled California, the New Texas?
It could be if all these start to break through. Henry Weinstein, you've laid it out wonderfully for us. Thank you very much for your time.
Thanks for having me.
Henry Weinstein, reporter for the Los Angeles Times. We're talking this hour about the death penalty, redemption, clemency, and the California case of Stanley Tookie Williams. What do you think? Should there be a chance for a convicted murderer to earn clemency on death row by the argument of redemption? I've been redeemed. Joining me now from Los Angeles is Reverend James Lawson, Jr. As a civil rights leader, he worked with Dr. Martin Luther King. He's now president of the Southern Christian Leadership Conference of Greater L.A., an organization founded by Dr. King in 1957. Reverend Lawson, thank you very much for being with us.
You're welcome.
Also with us from the Bay Area is Deborah Saunders, a syndicated columnist for the San Francisco Chronicle who has been critical of the clemency path. Deborah Saunders, thank you for joining us.
My pleasure.
James Lawson, Reverend Lawson, first to you, how do you see the case for clemency here?
Well, number one, it seems to me that if we are a democratic society, clemency and redemption ought to be considered possible and available.
Four-time convicted murderer and co-founder, we're told, of the Crips. That sounds like a pretty big rap sheet. What does Tookie Williams have to put up against that?
The sheer fact that for the last 10, 11, 12 years, he has sought to reverse his life. He has publicly done this. He has apologized even for organizing the Crips. And he's made it clear that he will spend the rest of his life working to undo the harm he's done. And certainly a part of the notion of justice is restitution. And a life imprisonment within prison without the possibility of parole is a heavily severe punishment and does allow him to continue the effort to restore the wrong he's done, to change it, and to influence others in making that change. I think that's an extremely important point that our nation must come to if we're going to be a democratic society.
Deborah Saunders, you're looking at this from the other bank of the conversation. How do you see it? Tookie Williams has written children's books. He's put out repeated messages against gang activity. He's called for gang peace. He's positioned himself as a kind of teacher of peace and reconciliation to urban youth who might be tempted in that direction. Is that enough? Should he be seen as redeemed? Should Arnold Schwarzenegger say, no death here?
Well, I don't know that he has redeemed himself. I know he says he has. I know that he's issued an apology for founding the Crips, but he doesn't admit to these four crimes, which the jury convicted him for. Not only that, but Rita Cosby from MSNBC interviewed him this week, and he said he's never ordered anybody killed. He's never been involved with any murders. Now, this is the co-founder of the Crips. So it's funny how all of his apologies don't have any consequences whatsoever, don't tie him for any crimes. They're very convenient apologies.
What are the police saying? What are the prosecutors saying in this case, Deborah Saunders?
You know, the Los Angeles County DA's office is adamant about this. The California Attorney General, Bill Lockyer, a Democrat, is fighting the bid for clemency. I got to tell you, people in law enforcement are utterly unimpressed by the way that he's behaving. And I've looked at other cases, by the way, where people in law enforcement do have sympathy for the person they've convicted. This isn't one of those cases.
Reverend Lawson, how about it? We've seen a pretty emotional stand-up by law enforcement saying, no, this is the wrong message to send. Yes, sir.
This is very typical of law enforcement in the country, especially district attorney's offices. We have had since in the last decade, there have been over 100 and some people on death row whose convictions were proved to be wrong. They were proved to be innocent, and they've been let out of prison. Not a single district attorney in any of those cases said, well, there may be a case here of innocence and we've made a mistake. The district attorney's offices almost always refuse to look at new evidence, especially in capital cases.
But let me ask you, the California courts have said again, just in the last day, no, we're not going to reopen these cases.
Right.
Tookie Williams, Stanley Williams' own attorneys are not making the clemency plea on the basis of wrongful conviction. They're making it on the basis of his reform, his personal reform.
Yes, and I understand that, but I'm just pointing out to the audience, especially for the sake of Deborah Saunders, that the criminal justice system in the United States, I speak as a black man and as a pastor of some 41 years in the United Methodist Church, who's followed this very diligently, the criminal justice system in the United States is itself criminal. And especially when you put into the picture the issues of racism and sexism, and also put in the issues of poverty. So it is not unusual for the police and for the district attorney to say, no, we've made no mistakes.
Reverend Lawson, if I may ask you, people in California and now increasingly across the country are watching this case very closely. There's a lot of concern about what the message is going to be. There's many messages that could be taken from it. What do you think in the community that Tookie Williams speaks to, the poor urban community?
One of the messages we need to have offered. We are a society trying to be a democratic society. Our experiment in democracy is the oldest in the world. We offer the world the notion that when we have convicted and punished a person for crime, that person is still a person, according to our Declaration of Independence, who has human rights that the government must acknowledge. So if they've redeemed themselves, we give them a chance to let that happen, not by releasing them from jail, but by allowing them in jail to make it an experience that allows them to do restorative and restitutive restitution for the crimes they have committed.
But
in other words, giving people a second chance ought to be what a democracy is about.
But let me ask you about in the community that Tookie Williams attempts now to speak to, and he says to essentially a poor urban community, don't go the gang way. If he is executed, does that warn people against the gang life, or does that push them toward the gang life?
It just tells them that the society that says, do not kill, does itself kill. And that is an awful message to proclaim to the society.
Deborah Saunders, how do you see it? If a decision goes one way or another, if he's executed, what's the message? If he's not, what's the message?
Well, I mean, part of the problem here is the message that is coming out of the death penalty opponents, not all of them, but the people who are speaking for Tookie Williams, is that he's some kind of saint. That if he killed four people, it's okay because he wrote children's books. You know, in Texas you find God, in California you get a publisher. But I want to say a few words about what you were talking about, Tom. There's a two-pronged thing going on here. One is the clemency petition that is arguing on mercy based on a redemption, which I consider totally false because he hasn't atoned for any crimes for which he's been committed.
Have you talked to him?
The other thing. When I talked to Barbara Bettinell, his co-author, she hung up on me when I asked about the fact, Reverend, that his own lawyer said that he was brain damaged, and I wondered how an author could be brain damaged.
But certainly it's been possible to hear Tookie Williams. Yes, please.
Okay. The other, at the same time, while they're saying we just want life without parole. Mr. Williams goes on MSNBC and says, I'm innocent and I want to prove it. He wants out. And so he has this whole strategy is designed not just to avoid the execution, but to get him out of prison for the killing of four innocent people. You know, the governor...
He won't be out of prison,
clemency.
Though.
Can I just, I just want to say one more sentence. The governor can't grant clemency based on redemption for someone who hasn't truly redeemed, or it's going to be come on down for everybody. If people realize that they can get this clemency without having to, without having to stipulate they're even going to agree to life without parole, it becomes a cheap and easy thing.
a cheap and easy thing, and a cheapening you're suggesting, and certainly many of the prosecutors have, of the justice system. Deborah Saunders, Reverend James Lawson, please stand by, and I want to begin to bring our callers into this conversation. David's calling from Waynesboro, Georgia. Hi, David, you're on the air.
Yes, I am. How are you?
We're well. What do you think?
Well, I think that we're focusing a lot on, well, personally, I think the wrong issues. I was a correctional officer for 7 years.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to tell you that when an inmate is in prison, he will do a lot of things to convince you of the outside that he's not guilty. Mm-hmm. Secondly, mm-hmm. I think that redemption is almost irrelevant. You commit a crime in a state where you know what the punishments are. We're not talking about gray, blue-collar crimes where you may or may not. We're talking about you kill somebody, you rob somebody, you steal from somebody. You know there's a price to pay. And he has been convicted, and a lot of people with a lot more education and experience in law enforcement have decided that he is guilty. And he committed this crime in a state where they have the death penalty, and the crime should be met with the punishment.
And redemption, is there a place for that in this life?
Well, I think that redemption lies in the eyes of God, and that as men, the best we can hope for is to protect ourselves from each other. And, you know, when you do a crime, there should be a punishment. There are other people to consider here than, you know, this founder of the Crips.
We've got it, David, and our time is short before the break. I want to put that to James Lawson. Reverend Lawson, our caller says, yes, there's redemption, but that's between you and your maker.
Well, I disagree. Number one, why isn't life in prison without parole continued punishment for the crime? So that's number one. Secondly, we human beings do have to decide about issues of redemption, and we have to be on the side of the fact that each one of us has within us the capacity to make changes when we've made mistakes, even fatal, bitter mistakes. We have the capacity to change. God has given that to us. So I think that David is just basically wrong. But he's also wrong in a third point. That is, the criminal justice system in the United States is errs on the side all the time of the young and the people of color. That criminal justice system is itself criminal, and we need basic restructuring of it across the board.
We're joined now from Columbus, Ohio, by Dan Kobel, law professor at Capital University. He's testified before congressional committees and the Supreme Court on clemency. Professor Kobel, thank you for being with us.
Thanks for having me, Tom.
And we are joined right now by Rebecca Owens. She is the daughter, the eldest daughter, of Albert Owens, who was killed by Stanley Tookie Williams in the 1979 robbery of a 7-Eleven store in California. Rebecca Owens, thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me.
So you're watching the Tookie Williams case, and it's a great big one, lots of controversy, a big campaign to spare him from execution. What do you think all these years later?
Exactly that. He's had much more time than what he granted his victims.
Your father and three others.
Yes, and many others that he wasn't convicted of.
And if Governor Schwarzenegger grants him clemency, how will you see the message in that for kids, let's say, in L.A.?
You can get away with doing things that you're not supposed to do by giving vague apologies and pretending to do good.
But what about everything that he's done over the years? He's put out lots of messages saying to kids, don't go the way I've gone. Do you give him nothing for that, Rebecca Owens?
He's putting out the same message that's already been out there. He's not doing anything new.
And now he's less than 2 weeks from death. If he dies, do you feel better? Do you feel that justice is done?
If he dies, it'll be done.
How old were you when your father was killed, Ms. Owens?
I was 8.
You remember him?
Yes, I do.
And your feelings in your heart towards Stanley Williams?
Well, as a grown adult, I grew up thinking that it was already done. It was only 4 years ago that I found out that the man that killed my father was still alive, and not only that, he'd been nominated for the Nobel Peace Prize.
It's a lot to take on board. Rebecca Owens, well, I'm sorry for the loss you took all these years ago, and I'm grateful to you for sharing a few minutes with us today.
Thank you.
Rebecca Owens, Stanley Williams was convicted of murdering her father in 1979 in the robbery of a 7-Eleven store in California. Professor Coble, let me put that to you, but maybe from this angle. I mean, the death penalty, capital punishment, is legal in much of this country, and it's exercised. We're heading up to the 1,000th execution since it came back in 76. We hear law enforcement officials saying, if you don't have this threat, that may encourage more killing. Do you see a place for mercy within the justice system, even in within capital punishment, that does not undercut the intended deterrent effect of capital punishment?
Absolutely, Tom. I think the one thing that we should keep in mind is that we execute very few of the murderers who actually are convicted of murder. In fact, most murderers are not executed. It's only a handful of people, and frankly, critics of capital punishment, I think quite rightly, point out the arbitrariness of the manner in which it's imposed. So I think you can make an exception in favor of mercy and not suddenly say, well, you know, it's free killing for anybody who later will convert to God or to say they've done good works. I really don't think that is a compelling reason to deny mercy to Mr. Williams in this case.
But you've heard people say in this hour that the message then will be you can kill and get away with it. What do you say?
Well, I think that Governor Schwarzenegger has a responsibility that if he does grant clemency on grounds of mercy, to make very clear what his message is and what it is about Mr. Williams that he found compelling. One thing that he could say is that mercy not only looks backward at the offender and his crime, it also looks forward at the possibility of persons he could save through his work with gangs, so that his life continues to have some value, and this could be merciful toward the youth of California.
Reverend Lawson, I guess you've been closest to this community, and you're watching Governor Schwarzenegger now. Do you have any idea in your heart where you think he's going to come down here? You see the political pressures on him from both sides.
I have no idea. I would wish that he would operate as a Roman Catholic Christian and recognize that the Roman Catholic Church insists that Jesus does not condone killing for any purposes, and that if the state is going to teach that, then clemency by commuting the sentence of death to life imprisonment without parole, that would be the finest message that he could offer.
And Deborah Saunders, we just have half a minute here. How do you think the governor's going to go? Regardless of the Bible, we know what California law is. It says there is a death penalty.
68% of Californians support the death penalty. And that doesn't mean that they would be opposed to clemency in any case, but granting clemency to somebody who hasn't atoned for his crimes truly and who is trying to get out of prison and has said he wants to prove his innocence would be folly.
There it is, in a nutshell, and Tukey Williams now looking at less than 2 weeks before it goes one way or the other. Reverend James Lawson, president of the Southern Christian Leadership Conference of Greater Los Angeles, thank you very much for being with us today.
You're welcome.
Deborah Saunders, syndicated columnist for the San Francisco Chronicle, thank you for your time.
Thank you for having me.
And Dan Coble, law professor at Capital University. Dan, thanks very much for your perspective today.
You're welcome, Tom.
I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point.
On Point is a production of WBUR Boston and NPR, National Public Radio.